wasn't it? Yeah. So I wanted to get Frieda out of her comfort zone for a second. A few years ago, I had the Lord really spoke to me regarding multiplication. And if you notice on your bulletin, Wendy put on 2 times 2 times 2. Somebody had already, I think Heather had figured out what it actually totaled. Wow. Can I put this down a bit or just leave it? Anyways, are you sure? Okay. Anyways, as I was going through that, I was really believing the Lord for this multiplication factor in the ministry that He's given to me, which a lot of it surrounds my workplace. And believing that the Lord was going to multiply in my team of people around me, that the things would be multiplied. And I always liked the multiplication factor. When do we learn multiplication? 2 or 3? Grade 2 or 3? Those teachers in the room? Grade 2 or 3, I think we learned multiplication. I always liked multiplication because it was a faster way to get to the end. Right? Because 5 plus 5 equals 10. That's not getting very far. 5 times 5 equals 25. I like that. Like, we're getting faster along the way. But the one thing in multiplication that I never understood was 1 times 1. 1 plus 1 equals 2. At least 1 times 1 should equal 3. Right? Because 2 times 2 equals 4. Everything's going at a faster pace. Why can't 1 times 1 equals 3? In my day, when I was a kid, and I'm not that old, but when we still had the penny candy, right? Everybody remember the penny candy? Yeah, you could go to the store and you could buy for a penny candy, right? As a kid, I realized that was a waste of time. Because 1 times 1 equals 1. What would they want to sell one candy for? Because in my multiplication factors, you weren't going to multiply much there. And then as soon as I spoke that, the 5 and 10 cent stores come out. So I just kind of like those guys from Napster and Google and all that think somebody stole their idea. I think that they stole my idea at the time. But anyways, the 1 times 1 became a principle that I needed to understand in this multiplication factor. And the Lord really allowed me to go through some things that allowed me to come to a place of one. And multiplication starts at one. And we need to understand that. I'm going to go through a bunch of scriptures. I want to go opposite of Ralph. And say, I'm going to have it on the screen back here. Just because I don't want to have any distractions, and that we can just stay focused on what he's speaking. And I, if you brought your Bible, that's good. Bring it again next week. But just if we can go through that a little bit. In John 17, verses 20 to 23, I look at this scripture as the one scripture. It says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who believe in me through their words. So it's Jesus praying to the Father at this point in time. He was first praying for the disciples, and now he's praying for the ones that the disciples are ministering to. It says that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. That the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved me, as you have loved me. One. Everything's about one. It's... He desires us to decrease. And it was about 3 or 4 years ago that the Lord gave me that scripture, or gave me the word about multiplication. And again, me being the business guy that I was, or that I am, or whatever, I thought that's cool. Accelerated pace. And the Lord said, you got to decrease. And that's not an easy chore. And I will admit, as I was going through the decrease, that I didn't understand everything that's going on. We don't always understand that. In John 3:30, it says, he must increase, but I must decrease. We've all heard the scripture, we've quoted it, we love to say it, and we don't like to do it. Because it's not an easy scripture to actually fulfill. Because, you mean I enjoy business, and I like to do my thing. And the key word in there is my. I want to do my thing. And he says, John, I want the my out of there, and I want the me in there. I want me, as in Jesus Christ. He wants himself in there. In Galatians 2, verse 20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith, this unseen thing, in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I live in faith that Jesus Christ is going to do it. I want to say that I live in faith. And I was all excited about multiplication. But he said, let's go up the times table here. And let's start at 1 times 1. Let's get to the point where it's, as in John 17, it's me and you and the one aspect. Let's get to that point. And he started to take away the me. And he started to take away the me. Things that there's things that in me, because I'm a proud person, I keep very private. I'm tough, I'm strong. I'll just keep that private from you. And God started to speak to me about that. Started to speak to me that I needed to become one in Him. That it wasn't my stuff, it was His stuff. And that I needed to realize that my covering up my weaknesses was not what He called for. He called for Him to be the one and me to be built together with you. So, I wanted to get to the next times table. I wanted to get to something that was different than 1 times 1. I wanted to go beyond 1 times 1, and I was asking the Lord, I said, okay, Lord, you've told us to be fruitful and multiply. How do I go further? And I think I've actually even spoken on this scripture once before here, and maybe somewhere else, I don't know. But anyways, in Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30, is the story about the master going away, and he gives talents to the servants. And in verse 14 it says, and he delivered his goods to them. It's his goods. And then he gave, in verse 15 it says, and to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each one according to his ability. And then in verse 16, then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. So the story talks about his goods being given to, we'll say us, his goods being given to us according to our ability. There's something about that ability thing that confused me. And I said, God, I want to multiply. I want to be one with you. I need to understand how I do that. And he gave me another scripture, and it was totally bizarre to me. It seemed like a wrong scripture. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you." Grace is undeserving favor. So, "And God is able to make all undeserving favor abound to you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things," that word confuses me. Sufficient doesn't sound like abounding. Do you know what I mean? Like it's enough, but it's not abounding. But then he goes back, "may have abundance for every good work." And here's the premise of what I want to talk to you about. The Master gave us his goods for us to work with. And he's allowed us abundance for every good work. We've twisted good works in the church so badly because we've only taken it from one connotation. We've been called to good works. The goods are his, the ability he gives to us to work. He's called us to good works. He's not just called us to, and understand, I am not telling you to go out and rake the neighbor's leaves. I'm not saying that's bad, but I'm not telling you to go rake the neighbor's leaves so you've gained penance. I'm talking to you about the goods that he has given to you. Look at the two words that are there. Good works and the goods that you have to work with. Same statement. Exact same statement. And he's promised an abundance when we use the goods that he provides and we work with them. I'm doing a management course right now to teach me how to be a manager. It's quite an experience for me. They did an analysis on my personality. I failed it. I do not know how you fail a personality analysis, but I failed it. Not just once, twice. They finally did, like in, I don't know if any of you in high school have ever had this, where you're just not getting it, so they do a verbal test with you. They almost whisper in your ear the answers. They did one of those with me to get me passed. Anyways, I found out that my worst character trait that I have is I am a poor communicator. It's the worst character trait I have is I'm a poor communicator. And you know what? I was so thrilled with that. In high school, I remember I had to do the debate thing. I don't know if you ever had to do debate in high school. Stupid. But anyways, the girl who was against me just creamed me. Just totally, totally creamed me. I was almost in tears because I could not speak in front of the class. I'm standing in front of you using his goods this morning. You mean I'm tightly knit together with a small group of people in this church because of small groups, and we experienced, 2 months ago, when was it, when I came there and I was not ready to speak. Well, no, I wasn't ready. I had all the stuff, but it wasn't there. Do you know what I mean? It was just, and I watched it. I said to them right at the beginning, I feel like crap. Sorry, that's not a nice word, but I feel like garbage. I don't feel good this morning. I just don't feel like I got it. Do you know what I mean? I don't feel like it's here. I said, we got to pray that it becomes his good. Well, I didn't say it that way, but in hindsight, we had to pray that it was his goods that came out. I'm not a good communicator. It's the Holy Spirit that is a good communicator. The Holy Spirit can speak through us if we're willing to work with the goods that he gives us. Are we willing to work with the goods he gives us? The interesting thing is, there's sufficiency in all things. The goods that He gives to us, there's abundance. The all things, I would like to have the abundance in money. Sorry. I know that sounds very terrible, but anyway, I would like to have the abundance in the money. And He says, I will give you sufficiency in all things. You'll have sufficient money. You'll have sufficient food on your table. You will have sufficiency in all things, but I will give you abundance when you use my goods. I will give you abundance when you use my goods. Because you know what? This is all about His glory. This is all about His glory. And if it's about me being satisfied, if it's about me being abundantly loaded with cash, abundantly loaded with all the things that I want in this world, do you know what? He'll take care of me. He'll feed me. But the abundance is in His goods. So we're talking about good works here. Again, please, go back again and understand the statement that I'm saying about good works. It's His goods. He gives us the ability to work with it. Do you understand? Because we take good works and get it totally mixed up, think we're back in the law again. We're not in the law. Good works is New Testament Scripture. Good works is something that we need in this church. We need good works in this church because it's His goods being worked out in us. To verify that, in Titus 3 verse 14 it says, and let our people also learn to maintain good works. And let our people also learn to maintain good works. To meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. Wow. Good works creates fruitfulness. Fruitfulness is an equation of multiplication. I'm getting past 1.1. 1 times 1. 1 times 1 is based on me coming and allowing less of me so that He can engage His goods in me. And now He says, I want you to go up with my goods and start multiplying. You're going to start at the 1 times 1 point and you're going to move on. It's pretty radical. Good works in the church. This isn't penance. It's nothing about penance. It's about being one in Him. Ephesians 4 verses 1 to 7 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called. 1 times 1 is your calling. Less of you and more of Him. That's your calling. And as you're walking in that calling, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. Because what he's doing is, as He gives us these goods, all of a sudden, He's equipping you to take care of the person beside you with those goods. He says right there, to meet urgent needs. In Titus 3 verse 14, it said to meet urgent needs. That's what the good works were about. And He says here, with lowliness and gentleness, long-suffering, because you got these goods, and now you have to work them out in you, and what ends up happening is, they're an idiot that the Lord gave you the goods to take care of. The person's an idiot. Do you know what I mean? Like, at least if He gave me the goods for somebody that was intelligent, it would be a lot easier to deal with. Don't you agree? But He happens to give you the goods for the idiot. And I'm sorry, but we don't want to use His goods. I don't know if you remember in the story of the talents, there's one guy that didn't use one. Because he was given the goods He went out to have them worked out in him. What happened? Oh, Lord, he gave me that person? They're not that smart. They're not that... You know, the area that I have of expertise is much more broader than what we're dealing with here, Lord. I just want to help you out here a little bit. If you could give me some goods based on the type of things that I have. Oh, I have. What ends up happening is we go to 1 plus 1 again, and 1 plus 1 doesn't multiply. 1 times 1 is less of me and more of him. And we want to base the goods that he gives to us based on me, what I have. I have some good qualities. Not a very good speaker, not a very good communicator, but the other qualities aren't bad. I'm a businessman, so I'm screwing up right now a little bit, but you know what, otherwise I'm a pretty good businessman, you know what I mean? I'm not bad at what I do, and so give me the goods to help people in this realm. And he says, well, first of all, I'm going to give you some goods to start you off. He says, we first got to get rid of you, John. Because this is about me. So he says, I'm asking you with lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering, bear with one another in love. Do you understand him saying that to you? Can you just picture him saying that? You can picture him saying it to me. I said that to my small group. I said to my small group that I had failed on communication, and one of the ladies piped up really passionately, I can see that. Sometimes you don't want an amen. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you don't want the amen. You know what I mean? Endeavoring, it says in verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now he goes on to what we're talking about, the one, because he's telling us about this, and he says, there's one body and one Spirit, just as you are called. This is our calling again, is to be one. In one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of you, each one of us, grace, undeserving favor, was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So we've been given something undeservably that we will work with his goods. We've been given undeserving favor to work with the goods that he has placed as a part of us. Going on to verse 11 of Ephesians 4, he starts explaining some of the gifts that were given undeservedly. And he says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. He's given us goods so that we can equip each other for the work that we have to do. For the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. If you go back to John 17 again, it said we'd be made perfect in one. And here it says he wants to bring us to a perfect man. He's given us goods for us to work with. Good works. He's given us the goods for us to work with. Good works. For the purpose of bringing us to being a perfect man in him. To the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ. Because as we work with the goods that he's given to us, we become less of us and more of him. It just happens. It just happens. that we should no longer, and this is something that, you know what, I've often seen in the church over the years that I've gone to church, that as people pulled out, pulled back from being involved, it was only a short window away where they weren't here anymore. So God's given you goods. And He's given you goods to work with. He's given you undeserving favor to work with those goods. For some reason, He's given me goods of teaching. And honestly, it is not me. I can share that emphatically. The people that are in my small group, they can see the difference. I mean, if the Spirit is moving, and we've seen it, man, I'll tell you, we've had some amazing small groups. And the Spirit just overwhelms the place. Do you know what that is? That's His goods at work. And what happens there? What happens when we use His goods? When we work with the goods that He's given to us? That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But we end up instead speaking truth in love, that we may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. You mean, when you aren't here for a week, it should be a huge impact on us. It should be a massive impact on us if we're not here. Because every joint supplies. God's provided you the goods to work with here this morning. It might be saying, wow, that's a nice orange sweater. But if that's the goods He's provided you, work with them. Because God's called you to work with them. And when you do, you're not going to be thrown around anymore. Those times when you just want to get up and leave, you know what? There'll be a strange thing happen to you. Strange thing happen. You won't want that. You'll come to a place where you say, no, I'm fit together. I can't get out of this. But by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working. Again, it goes back to that working. It's based on the working by which every part does its share and causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Good works. His goods being worked out in us effectively. It says effectively. 1 times 1 is the starting of where we need to start. We need to be less of us. When the Lord spoke to me about multiplication years ago, I was so excited because I just forgot about 1 times 1. Let's get on with it. Let's do the 5 times 5. My dad always said to me as a kid, he says, my mom wanted me to become an accountant or something like that, wasn't it? Yeah, I think it was an accountant. My dad says, don't worry about the boy. He rubs 2 nickels together, they turn into a quarter, so don't worry about him. And do you know what? So I love multiplication. It's right part of my DNA. And the Lord says, get down to 1 times 1. Come on your knees before me and surrender yourself. And as I did that, I thought, I want the abundance. If I go back to 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, I wanted the sufficiency. Instead of sufficiency in all things, I wanted the abundance in all things and sufficiency in every good work. It's the opposite of what it says, by the way, in case it's not on the screen. I wanted the abundance in all things and the sufficiency in good works. Because what that is? Give me the cash. And let me put aside the person that rubs up beside me. In Matthew 5, verse 16, it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Warren Buffett's a pretty wealthy dude, right? And he, when he makes these moves, he's very, very well respected in the financial worlds, because he's very calculated and he makes very healthy moves in the financial world. And he's been a guy that's stayed relatively stable through all the economic times because he kept good principles and everything like that. And when he makes a move and they listen to him, everybody says, "Wow, that Warren Buffett is such an amazing guy. What he does." He's the guy that his kids aren't allowed a lot of money because they got to learn it on their own and all this kind of stuff. He's a pretty, everything about him sounds reasonably healthy. And so they give him a lot of praise for what he does. He's got a skyscraper of people doing analysis for him. And he just moves based on what they tell him to move on. Do you understand? Wouldn't it be neat if we could get to that place where God, I don't want to belittle it to say he's the Warren Buffett, but you understand the principle of what I'm trying to say here, that God is there. And he gives us his goods, just as Warren Buffett gives those people his monies, and says, "Go and do something with it." And we do something with it, and the only thing that people see is not that skyscraper with us all turning around in it. They only see God. That's what it says here. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." See the goods that he has given to you and you working with them. And it's so evident that it's his goods that you're working with that they only give glory to him. That'd be pretty cool. That's what it says here. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." We were created in Christ Jesus. When we got to that one times one point, we were created at that point for the purpose of good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. There are different times in our life where we would just like to hide for a little while. You ever have that? Busy time with the kids, going through a bit of tough times, you just need to be backed up, quiet, and everything. Do you realize today, he ordained today, the goods he provided for you, he organized them, he orchestrated your goods that he provided for you, and the workmanship that he worked on you to create those goods within you, he prepared those beforehand. Now, we don't even know how far beforehand, but lots beforehand possibly, because time is limitless with the Lord. He prepared them beforehand. So, I'd like to take a couple weeks off. I just want to take a couple weeks off. I'm not talking about holidays. I want to take a couple weeks off and be nice. No, I'm being very, very facetious in how I'm saying it, but I just don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to come prepared to church. I'm not speaking. I'm not leading worship. I want to come unprepared to church. The Lord says, "I prepared in you goods for February 26th and February 27th and February 28th. Are you willing to come to me?" Because he says, I've worked with you. It's my goods, and I've shown grace to you, undeserving favor, so that you could perform the works of that good, those goods. Are you willing today to work with them? When you start seeing the chain of events, and start seeing, I wish we could, I know we can't because that's not faith then, but someday faith will be sight, so we'll know all this stuff. But it'd be a neat roadmap to look at, wouldn't you think? Oh, shoot. There John didn't bother because he didn't feel like doing the goods, using the goods. Oh, thankful that person came in to cover. Or that person suffered because John didn't use those goods. Now, I don't know if that's the way it works. That theologically might not be correct, and if it is, then stone me later. But right now, we're going to listen to me. So I don't. You know what I do know, though, that he planned it beforehand so that you would be taken care of. He planned beforehand that I would be standing up here on February 26th. And the Lord might be speaking to your heart right now, or he may not be. But you were to come here prepared to allow me to present his goods through his workmanship in me, to present his goods to you. You needed to come here prepared to hear that. That takes his goods again. Well, I have ADD. Do you know what? It's not your situation. It's his goods. Sorry. It's not you. Don't worry about it. It's not about you. It's about his goods, not yours. Yeah, but John, you know what? I'm really shy and backward. I sweat when people get in front of me. Good. It's a lot easier for you to let down your goods and let his goods come into play. I got blasted out in debate class by some nerdy girl. And then the Lord has me use his goods to speak. Bizarre, it's not me. And even when they test me, my natural instincts still today are not that good in this field. Do you understand? Like, so I would think, well, all that practice that I've had in the Lord, you know what I mean? If they tested me, maybe I would look pretty good. I was actually quite a little disappointed at first, you know what I mean? And then I started realizing, you know what, that's cool because that's the Lord that's speaking through me. It's kind of a neat thing. But this was prepared beforehand. So realize today is an important day. Colossians 1 verse 10 says that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. I always get ticked off why the one guy got 5 talents, the other guy got 2, and the other guy got 1. The guy that got the 5 talents was increasing in the knowledge of God because he was using the goods already. He was taking advantage of the goods that were provided to him and allowing the workmanship of God to work through him to use those. Good works. Good works. So therefore, he was given 5. And he was fruitful as he turned that 5 into 10. And not just that, he was given more beyond that. It said that he was given more even beyond that. Titus 1 verse 15 to 16, it says, to the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. They profess to know God, but in works. It's not his goods that are the deficiency. They're not working with his goods. And they deny him by not working with the goods that he's given to him. This is pretty serious stuff. Do you understand? This is not okay, but you know what? I'm still a pretty good Christian. You know, I go work at the soup kitchen, and I go do this, and I'm actually involved in a few different things and stuff like that. If it's about your goods, I'm sorry, you're into serious trouble. He doesn't pussyfoot around with this stuff. This is real stuff. But in works, they deny him. They're denying his goods. Being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified from every good work. This isn't condemnation. This is walking away from the goods that he provides us. Matthew 25, again, going back to the parable, says, and I was afraid. This is the guy with the one talent. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent or your goods in the ground. look, there you have what is yours. I was afraid. I was too busy. I just needed a break. I was smart enough. I took it over myself. Do you know what? They took the goods away from this guy with the one talent. I don't think that bothered him. He's working with his own goods anyways. Really? I don't think if God takes the goods away from you, you're going to be bothered. In that situation, you are not going to be bothered at all. You're going to say, oh, wow, that was a real tick. That guy must have really been ticked off. I don't think he was. He was ticked off later, though. Something came down the pipe that really caught him off guard. But at that point in time, when the goods were taken away from him, he wasn't ticked off at all because that whole time he was using his goods, his own self, his own strength, his own stuff. And God said, no, you need to use my stuff. Not dig it into the ground, because it's the pure stuff. It's the stuff that is real good works. It's my goods at work in you. Therefore, take the talent, in verse 28 to 30 in chapter 25, it says, therefore, take the talent or the goods from him and give them to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. Again, if we went back to 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, it says, may have abundance for every good work. There's the abundance again. We want the abundance in everything else. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the rest of the stuff is going to come to pass. There was a young rich ruler. He had said, says, God, what's it going to take for me to crash in on your party? And he says, well, you should do this, do this, do this. He said, done all of that stuff. Fed the poor, done this, done that. You know, taking care of people. You know what? You name it. I have done it all. And he says, sell what you have. Or give away the money that you have. Why? Because that was in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, that was the all things. He says, can you get rid of the all things so that I can give you abundance in good works? I need you to get rid of the all things. We hang on to the all things. I want to hang on to the all things. But God's called me to an abundance in his goods. Matthew 25, verse 29. So, for to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. This is pretty heavy stuff, this next verse. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'm sorry. It's what the scripture says. Are you willing to allow his goods to be worked through you? Scriptures call it good works. His goods working through you. Are you willing to allow that to happen? Are you willing to allow one times one to become the issue? Why am I sharing this with you this morning? It says in the scripture, Hebrews 10, verse 24 to 25, it says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. You know what that means? That means sitting in here or standing in here when the praise and worship is going and entering in. I'm not going to pick a shot at anybody, but when worship is happening and people have prepared for worship, they've come with the goods that God has given them, stop talking in the hall. And come in. Because we are allowing, you are stirring up in love the people that have prepared goods from the Father. Don't miss it. When you're done with worship, come right back in. Take your pee really fast. Stop talking in the bathrooms. I'm sorry. You know what? We need to get down to this is real stuff. There's weeping and gnashing of teeth in the place where we're not using his goods. I'm sorry, I can powder coat this stuff, but it's not. It's his goods, and are we going to use it or aren't we? Right. If it's a matter that we got to greet people that are coming in 20 minutes late, stand in here, let them come in. Let's start entering in and allowing, edifying the person up here that is using the goods that God has given them. What you're doing is you're edifying them in good works. Well, everybody else is doing it. Shove everybody else and get back in here. Stop talking. I'm sorry. You know what? When I read this, I was running yesterday morning just reading over my notes. And honestly, Asgard, I come off the treadmill and I'll tell you, I was flying higher than a kite because I realized how important this stuff is. It says there, and cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Part of the goods you've been given is how to receive. Part of those goods is you receiving. Part of your goods to me this morning, to help me this morning in the goods that were given to me, is receiving from me. God's working in you to receive goods from me. And let us consider, just consider for a moment, one another, in order to stir up love and good works. I want to stir up good works in you. I want to stir up love in you so badly this morning so that when we come here, you know what, we want to see multiplication here. We talk about it. You know what I mean? Oh, well, you mean all those left, they left. Oh, so, you mean all this sort of stuff. Just stop it. Allow the one times one to start. Because you know what? And I'm not... If this gets taken as condemnation, shove it down, because this is not meant to be condemnation. If somebody left because you weren't willing to use the goods that God gave to you, there's possibility that those things happen. And they had to go somewhere else to have those goods met. Do you understand? You don't have the right. You do not have the right to come here and not use His goods. This is not condemnation. This is love. This is stirring up. And then, what's the scripture right after this? Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves, of ourselves together, as it is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Don't forsake this assembling. Don't forsake. Do you know what? I think every time I stand up here, I try to reiterate the importance of small group. You know what? Monica wasn't there on Wednesday. I miss Monica. I'm not trying to pick on you, Monica, but it was snowing. But you know, and she was missed the week before too. But we won't say nothing about that. But anyways, Monica ministers. Amazing. In our group. I don't know if all of you, I mean, some of you know Monica, some of you don't. But you know what? In a small group, you get to know people. And you know what? The works, the goods that God has put in Monica get worked out in Monica in that atmosphere, in that environment. And it stirs her up in what she's been given. And she comes here and she can stir up and use them here. But we need to be able to connect with each other. It's important. Don't forsake the assembling together of the saints. I challenge you to understand what are the goods God has called you to here. What are the goods God has given to you to minister here in this body of believers? What are those goods? If you can't think of them, you know what? Spend some time in prayer and fasting and call out to the Lord and say, I want to know what the goods are. That's a quiet time. I've heard this one a lot. I'm in a dry spell in my life. You know, I mean, there was dry periods. I can read some scriptures and then hogwash. There's never a dry spell in Jesus Christ. It may not be as exciting. You know what? God has called Art and myself right now and given us goods to have mom and dad with us. You know, and that's not, mom and dad have been called with the goods to gracefully accept that. So as much as we are providing, or it's working out in us the goods that he's given to us to care for mom and dad, they are providing the goods back to us to provide that working out in them. Do you understand? Like, those are small things. But you realize, now let's say I crab and complain about that. I crab and complain about the goods God has given to me to take care of my parents. Do you know what I'm doing? Do you understand what I'm doing if I do that? I am complaining to the Almighty God who created heaven and earth. I'm complaining to Him about His goods. If it's my goods, sure, complain about it. I don't care. But it's His goods. Stop complaining about the goods He's given to you. Because you are, I think that's as close to blasphemy as I've ever heard it. Complaining about His goods? That's a big shot. Have somebody come up to you and tell you that your wife's a jerk. You get pretty ticked off about that stuff. You're going and telling your Almighty Father that He's a jerk sometimes because of the goods He gave you. It may sound harsh, but my goal here this morning is to stir you up, because multiplication needs to come into the church again. Good works need to come in. His goods being worked out through you. Do not leave here and think, okay, I'm going to go rake the neighbor's leaves and I've done my good works. This is not penance. This is His goods being worked out in you. That is what He means in Scripture about good works. Good works is not a bad statement. Good works is a wonderful, amazing, great, phenomenal. It is the purpose of the church, is good works. His goods being worked out in each one of us. Start seeking the Lord. Come here on a Sunday morning willing to accept the goods that are being presented to you through the working out in other people. And come here with the presentation of the goods that He's given to you to present to other people. And realize those goods can be used on somebody that's less than your appeal. But bear in mind, you ain't much yourself. He's given it to you through grace. The word grace comes up every time those things are said. It's grace, it's grace, it's grace, it's grace. And grace means undeserved favor. You've been given undeserved favor. You've got to show that grace out again. I'm done. Do you know what? He is honestly on the throne. And I wonder if we can just pray right now. If you can kneel in your chair, great. If you can't, just bow your head here right now. And I just want, I'll pray for a second, and then we're just going to have a moment of silence, and then I'll pray again. In that time of silence, I want you to call out to the Lord. If you don't even know what your goods are right now that He's provided you to work with, His goods provided, you got to come back to that place of one times one. So let's pray. Father, I just come to You this morning. Your word is real. It's truth. It divides the thoughts and the intents of our heart. Lord, we get confused sometimes. We get tossed to and fro. And Lord, we want Your word to be established in us. Lord, we want good works to abound in this body of believers. And Lord, I just call out to You that You would do a work in each and every one of us. Lord, the days that I don't feel like doing it, Lord, I ask You to hit me across the side of the head, Lord, that I will do them for You. That I would allow Your goods to be worked out in me. Lord, as we have this time of silence, I ask that Your Holy Spirit would flood this place and minister to each person here. Father, we just pray that you would, as you started to work in us here, even just this morning, we pray that you would not leave us alone. Lord, we pray for the areas of distractions that can cause us not to go down the paths that you've called us to. We just pray that you would cause those to become evident to us, that our eyes would be open to those things. Lord, as we go out from this place, I just pray, Lord, that you would become one in us, that we would be one, and that there would be less of us and more of you, and that daily that growth would be there, and that your goods would become worked out in each one of us. Lord, we give you the glory again for your word and how real it is and how true it is. And we thank you for that, Lord. And we just pray that you would continue to minister in this body of believers as we even leave this place. In Jesus' name, amen.